Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare is here, and so is Mountain Dew.
Roger that.
Now you can unlock in-game rewards like only Dew can.
Wait. What rewards?
A Dew Operator skin.
Man, I love Operator skins.
Dual double XP, and even Call of Duty points.
You're kidding me. Double XP and Call of Duty points? This is incredible. I can't believe it.
Soldier, get a hold of yourself.
Oh, roger that.
Look for specially marked packaging and visit mtndewgaming.com for details and restrictions. Open to U.S. residents 17 plus. Call of Duty points available on 12 and 24 packs and free 20 and 23.
Right now, we're going out to the Brown and Crippen celebrity line to talk to the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, here on 101 ESPN. You'll hear the Blues versus the Sabres tonight. Pre-game coverage with Alex and Joey beginning at 5 o'clock. Kerbs on the call starting at 6. Kerbs, I want to start by bringing you on the conversation we were just having about Jordan Binnington. So far in this 6-game winning streak that he is on personally, he's got a .940 save percentage. In those 6 games, he's allowed just 7 goals at even strength. It's one of the best 6-game stretches that he's had so far in his NHL career. What have you seen, Kerbs, that has been different to you in this version of Jordan Binnington?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I think Jordan Binnington has had a fantastic season. If there's anyone, like if there's any one player on this team where I think he's been as consistently good from the start, from the moment training camp opened to now, it's Jordan Binnington.
What changed from last year then? I'll rephrase the question for you, Kerbs.
I thought you meant from earlier this year. Sorry then, I misunderstood you. What changed from last year is, I don't know, he found himself. I think he lost some confidence there a little bit. That was definitely part of it. I think when a goaltender, I probably shouldn't even be the one, Mike McKenna will attest to this one more than I will, but, like goaltenders, if you lose confidence, maybe the team play in front of you isn't really good, so you're trying to make up more. Maybe you're trying to get to the post quicker. Maybe you're stretching a little bit more, and when you do that, some holes open up, and then the confidence starts to go. And then things can snowball on a goaltender probably quicker mechanically than maybe any other position in the game of hockey. And I think Jordan, from an attitude standpoint, and Brandon, remember a lot of last year when I kept telling everybody, I kept saying that, look, I think Jordan Binnington is still going to be a player for this team come the playoffs, and I think he's going to be impactful. And that's just because he's got that attitude. So I think he found his game, come that the latter part of the year and going into the playoffs. And then he had a terrific offseason with it. And I just talked to him about 15 minutes ago, about a couple of things. And he just talked about how where he's at in his career and stuff, he understands his body more. He understands what it takes. And, there's a calm and even a confidence to him now that I'm sensing that I didn't even sense when he was going on the cup run of the year after that. You're still seeing the maturing of an NHL player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it happens over time, Kerbs. I mean, don't sell yourself short here. You've been around the game so long, you can really read what comes through with a player on and off the ice. And I think your analysis of Binner is just spot on. He kept doing his thing. How many shots went in off of defensemen? How many backdoor tips? He managed to keep his confidence, I think, in terms of his structural ability, his mechanics. There wasn't a differentiation in what he was doing this season that I've seen. He just stuck with it. And now he's getting a little bit of help from that team in front of him. And Kerbs, I think a huge part of this, and I'm going to find out from you if you think it's the same way, but we're always looking for motivation when we play, and I can't help but think that mother's trip was an absolute catalyst for this club because they played so well. I mean, I think Ryan O'Reilly's mom should be in the building every night. Kerbs, if you can make that happen, please try to get that to go. But did you feel that while you're traveling with the team that there was that greater sense of, hey, our moms are here, let's have some fun, let's play loose, and then the results sort of followed it on the ice?
Yeah, I think the turn actually happened before that, and it might have been the motivation of if we continue to struggle this way, that mom's trip might get canceled.
Ooh,
you know?
Oh, that'd be brutal.
Could you imagine that?
Some
of the moms getting to trip for the first time and having to call them and say, we're not doing this right now, like that. So I don't, and I'm not saying that was on the table. I'm just saying that in the back of your head, you have to wonder. But I look, this team was too good of a team to have as many guys playing as poorly as it was looking like they were playing during that losing streak. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. And the two plays that, to me, capsulize it more than anything were in Philadelphia, where I don't think the Blues played all that bad of a team game, and I think you started to see their team game come around. But there were two plays. Justin Falk is skating the puck out of the zone. He tries to pass the puck to Vladimir Tarasenko 6 feet ahead of him, and he missed him by 3 feet. And you're going, okay, that looked weird. That's the kind of play that when you're looking, you're going, is something wrong with him? Is he hurt, right? That kind of thing. Then, and I don't remember at this point if it was on the same shift or if it was just right after. But Nick Leddy's behind the net. He's standing there with the puck. He's waiting, and no forwards are coming back on the back check or to give him an outlet. Somebody swoops in from the Philadelphia Flyers, takes the puck right off of his stick, right? And like a hawk picking off a mouse, really. And you're looking at this going, what in the world was that? Like, he didn't even move when the pressure came in, and you're like, something's just kind of off. And you just knew that whether it was motivation of moms eventually, whatever the situation might have been, you knew that it was just not normal to have that many good players playing that poorly that long. And so it was, I think, a heck of a job by this coaching staff to kind of not let things get too tense, not let things get too overbearing, and then find ways to turn it around. And they have. And now another good test here tonight. But this one, really a fascinating up-and-down swing for this hockey team and how they've gotten to where they're at.
Chris Kerber is our guest here on 101 ESPN. Kerbs, one of the changes that they made last night is with Ryan O'Reilly, or yesterday is with Ryan O'Reilly, and that line is now going to include Vladimir Tarasenko and Brandon Saad. I liked what we had seen from Josh Levo with O'Reilly and Saad. It's an interesting timing to do this because they are in the midst of this winning streak. Would you think of the decision to put Tarasenko with O'Reilly, and what are you expecting from that line?
Well, you look at it from a couple of fronts. First off, you look at it from what's currently going on. I think that the last couple of games with Thomas and Buchnevich with Jordan Kyrou has looked really good. So maybe you don't want to mess with that one. And you combine it, and it's not just as simple as, say, throw one guy back up on that line, because you combine it with the fact that Vladimir Tarasenko had gone 7 games without a goal on the line with Thomas and Buchnevich, okay, and that line was just playing okay. So those two things say, okay, where do you put them? Well, you really like the way things have gone with Achari and Shen, you know, on that third line, working there with Ivan Barbashev. So it makes sense to go ahead and put Vladimir Tarasenko with a skilled centerman like Ryan O'Reilly. Now, Josh Levo has played well. I think he may be out tonight as a result of some of these line changes. But at the same time, you know, we've given up a decent number of scoring chances to the Anaheim Ducks in the last game. So I think this is, again, still trying to figure out what are the best combos and what your best options are. I'm just not sure that you really had any other place to put Vladimir Tarasenko on the right wing except for with Ryan O'Reilly when you look at how those other few lines have gone. Because you're not putting him on the fourth line.
No.
So it really kind of
it would be that third line. It would be with Shin, right? Like you drop Achari down to the fourth line. You have him center that group with Toropchenko and Alexandrov probably. And then you leave Levo up there with O'Reilly. Yeah. That would be probably the way that would do it.
Yeah. Right, but to your point, you're coming off a game where Achari had 2 goals, right? So, you know, that's one of those where it's kind of processed by elimination. What I think you're going to see tonight is I think you're going to see that line start the way. I think you're going to see Ryan O'Reilly with Vladimir Tarasenko. And so based on that, and then Brandon Saad on the left. Now, sickness is going through the team, so there could be another lineup change or two. So Matt Walker, I always do that to poor Nathan. It's not Matt Walker, who's a big, you know, we called him Big Country before Matt Adams was Big Country, right, or Big City, right? So no, Nathan Walker, you know, could end up drawing in because sickness. Now, if that's the case, you're looking at a scenario where I think Craig Berube wouldn't mind checking out whether it be Alexei Toropchenko moving up the lineup a little bit, or really seeing if maybe Nikita Alexandrov has an opportunity to move up. So I'm not so sure that you're looking at a situation where you're going to see that line set throughout the whole game, and you might see some fluctuation there.
Yeah, and I think that Berube's done a really good job of mixing and matching when necessary. He's never been afraid to change the lines around for this club. And, you know, really when Buchnevich and Saad were out, you could just see that the team didn't have the 3-4 line deep forward crew and in sync curbs. And that's, for me, the biggest difference. You know, you look at how Buchnevich has stabilized that line and given Thomas and Kyrou a little bit of space, and Ryan O'Reilly, just the way his game has taken off in the last several. It's always been my litmus test for the Blues is if a simple stat, curbs, that people look at and they pan it and the analytics crowd is plus minus. But if you look at Ryan O'Reilly when he's plus, the Blues win. And lately, the confidence that he's seen, I just think about the other night, that backhand shot that he put underneath the bar, working with Levo right on the goal line. Like, you don't make that play unless you're confident. And it matters for this club. And I think, you know, looking at tonight's game, hey, Curbs, we got to look towards the D as well. I mean, it looks like Robert Bortuzzo is going to probably draw back into the lineup here. But is there a lot of concern here with Krug? It looks like he might be considered day-to-day. Is there any update on that from what you saw in the morning skate here and what may happen with the defensive pairings?
Actually, tonight on the defense, I think we're going to see both Krug and Parayko ready to go.
Good.
And back in. I don't anticipate Robert Bortuzzo coming into the lineup today. And that could, like I said, there's a sickness going through the team. A lot of this could change. But I would expect, especially with the way Rose and Amikola have looked those last couple of games, I'd expect them to stay the same. So I look for the defense to kind of stay to that point. Now, but back to the O'Reilly thing for it. Listen, guys, when it comes playoff time, that's the one guy I'm banking on, absolutely banking on. He's clutch, okay? But you have to look at the transition of where this team is right now. And one of the things that this team is doing, you know, is Robert Thomas is getting more looks. Robert Thomas is getting more key matchups. Robert Thomas is getting more key faceoffs. And the only way you can be better is you have to put him in that situation. And with Ryan O'Reilly, an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, and we don't know how that's going to play out, I think if you're Doug Armstrong and his team, you want to know just exactly how Robert Thomas is trending in those situations too. So there's so much more than just one game to, like, the coaches are focused on one game to the next. The coach, and that's their livelihood, and the success is there. But there's so much more organizationally to how this all kind of shakes out and how it looks. And you're right, when you had Buchnevich and when you had Saad out, your depth was severely hurt. I mean, one of the reasons the Buffalo Sabres lost 8 games in a row was because of injuries, and they don't have the depth to overcome that. They get a couple guys back last night defensively against Montreal, and boom, they're rolling again with a big win from the road. So, you know, this is all part of a bigger organizational journey, plus the individual things from one game to the next. That said, push comes to shove, guys. I'm hanging my hat with number 90 every single day of the week. It's proven, it's good, and he's just that strong of a competitor. And just hasn't, like, that's the guy that I'm having lead us right into the battle.
Curbs, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy yourself up there in Buffalo. Have yourself a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk with you again next week, my friend.
You got it. Brandon, I got one quick fun nugget. This is right up your alley. You're going to love. All right?
What do you got?
Tonight, the Buffalo Sabres are going to have 5 of their own top 10 draft picks in the lineup from each of the last 5 drafts. Okay? Well, not the 22. Right? So from 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, they're going to have a top 10 pick of their own in the lineup. The Blues have had 5 top 10 picks since 1988.
Jeez. When was the last one, Curbs? Was it Petro?
The last one was Petro. In the year before that, they didn't actually take the top 10 pick. They had the 9th pick. They traded it to San Jose. San Jose took Logan Couture. The Blues took Lars Eller with San Jose's pick at 13. So they've actually only picked 4 times, but have had 5 actual top 10 picks here in the last
that's crazy.
In the last, what, 30-something years.
And yet look at where the Blues are, and look at where the Sabres have been.
That's what it's like to be a good team.
Okay, wait a minute. Sorry, not to extend this, but one more real quick nugget for you then. So the Buffalo Sabres are right now are 7th in their division, right? They've missed the playoffs 11 years in a row. The Blues have missed the playoffs 9 times in franchise history.
My God.
My friends in Buffalo are hurting.
At least they got Tage Thompson. That seems to be going better. That's a good
futures
place
well
to start.
Rasmus Dahlin. Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Curbs, appreciate the time, man. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, happy Thanksgiving, you guys. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. That's Chris Kerber, voice of the Blues here on 101 ESPN. You'll hear him on your home for the Blues, 101 ESPN, coming up at 6 o'clock for Blues versus the Sabres. Pregame for that one starting at 5 o'clock.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare is here, and so is Mountain Dew.
Roger that.
Now you can unlock in-game rewards like only Dew can.
Wait, what rewards?
A Dew Operator skin.
Man, I love Operator skins.
Dual double XP, and even Call of Duty points.
You're kidding me. Double XP and Call of Duty points? This is incredible. I can't believe it.
This... Soldier, get a hold of yourself.
Oh, roger that.
Look for specially marked packaging and visit mtndugaming.com for details and restrictions. Open to U.S. residents 17+. College duty points available on 12 and 24 packs and free 20 and 23.